Hey, drama listeners, it's Connor. Welcome to a new episode of your favorite podcast on the entire planet, Drama, with Connor and Dylan McDowell. If you love this episode that you're listening to today with the leading man of The Lion King on Broadway, who you've also probably seen in Hamilton all around the world, all around the country, and he was also in White Girl in Danger just this past spring in New York City. But anyway, Vincent Jamal Hooper, he's amazing. You're going to love. If you love this episode, you're going to want to go back and look at all the other chats we've had with your favorite Broadway stars that you know and that you don't know yet that you're about to fall in love with. And once you fall in love with Dylan and I, you're going to want to hear more of us. So go to patreon.com/thedramapodcast, where for $5 a month, you get access to our Instagram close friends and bonus chats where Dylan and I go back and forth about theater, pop culture, love, life, all of the above. And it means a lot because it really supports the pod. So enjoy this episode, go sign up for our Patreon, and get ready for the show. All right, bye-bye.
Press play, curtain up and now we're in. It's time to taste in
the shade and tea
to spill.
Ooh, drama.
Oh, that's a tweet. Did they book?
Who got nom?
They option no.
Oh, I'm not well.
What star will we talk to today?
Oh, that's a gag, honey.
Say no more. Drama.
Drama. Welcome to Drama, a podcast that covers theater,
pop culture,
love,
and life.
I am Connor McDowell.
And I am Dylan McDowell. Connor, it has been a big week in Broadway news. I know we got into some of it last week on our Twin Talks episode.
But yes.
At the very end, I hypothesized there might be some new Sweeney Todd casting.
Mm-hmm. And you were spot on.
And as Anne Hathaway said when she accepted her Oscar, it came true.
Mm-hmm. I'm excited. Sutton Foster and Aaron Tveit are going to Sweeney Todd.
Yes. You know, everyone has their opinions. That's the beautiful thing about them. Everyone has one. But if you've ever listened to drama before, you know that Aaron Tveit is our king. And right. I'm so excited to see him do this. You know, everyone has very specific thoughts about who should be playing this role, because I think it's beloved. It's like, it's a Sondheim piece that I think everyone has ownership over in different ways. And so it's exciting to see someone who I think is maybe normally known for playing a golden boy, a hero, playing a darker character. I think that Aaron is going to really surprise people. I really do. Someone who hustles for the role. And then Sutton, I think, you know, Annalie is my girl as well. I think that this is something that it's because it's a comedic take on the role. And so I think that Sutton would be a good person to follow in Annalie's footsteps.
No, I'm so excited. It's going to be great. I love the idea of a Sondheim revival that keeps running and running, and all we can see all of our faves in them all the time. I still think Renee Elise Goldsberry would be an amazing Mrs. Lovett. And
I know,
hopefully
I love that.
We get that at some point. She
yeah.
would, I think, nail every aspect of the part. Actually, we need her back on Broadway in general.
Yes.
I know she's booked in every single way, but yeah. Come on.
Talking about Broadway replacements, someone just went into The Lion King and replaced, you know, the titular role, the king of the lions. And we are so lucky to have him with us today.
And I know. In his Broadway debut.
In his Broadway debut. I have never got to see him live, but I know that you did.
I did. There were white girls in danger.
She was in danger, wasn't she?
So I had to go. And I'm so sad you missed that one, but we're going to talk all about it. Dylan, would you please do us the honor of reading our guest in and we'll get to the chat.
Absolutely. Our guest today has been working on his roar and he's now starring on Broadway in The Lion King. Before taking on the Simba mantle, he made his off-Broadway debut as Tariq Blackwell in White Girl in Danger. He has appeared in multiple companies of Hamilton, including the Los Angeles, Australia, and Puerto Rican companies, which was alongside Lin-Manuel Miranda, playing the roles of Alexander Hamilton, Aaron Burr, George Washington, Lafayette and Jefferson, and King George III. He has lent his triple threat talents to many more stage roles, such as the youth in Passing Strange, Benny in In the Heights, and Stokely Carmichael in The Great Society. On television, he has appeared on Chicago Med, Shots Fired, and American Crime. This leading man is an actor, storyteller, and advocate for equity and social justice. We are thrilled to have him on the pod today to share his story. Please welcome to Drama, Vincent Jamal Hooper.
Hello.
Welcome to Drama.
Thanks for having me.
So excited.
Now, wait, before we get into anything, I need to mention that I'm obsessed with your shirt.
Thank you.
For the audio listeners who are the only, you know, we don't have a visual component to this pod, but you bring a Sailor Moon sweatshirt.
I am. Yeah, it's from this shameless plug, but this company called Knitworth. I am desperate to be sponsored by them. I have so many of these. I'm like, please.
What all, like, what other types of, like, these, like, shows or things like that that they'll feature? Like, cartoon characters or anime?
Yeah, so, like, they have, like, album art. They have famous paintings. Like, I have one that's The Last Supper. I have Kendrick Lamar's To Pimp a Butterfly.
Legendary.
Album cover. I've got a Basquiat. Like, it's like, there's so many.
Wow.
So many.
Oh my God, that's amazing. Okay, well, maybe we'll tag them in the post and it'll put more eyes on your incoming collaboration.
We love to see it. We love to see it.
Now, before we get into the meat and potatoes of these podcast conversations, Vincent, we like to meet our guests where they are. We like to check in, see how you're doing. Are you well?
I am quite well, yes.
I love to hear it.
Yes. No complaints, you know? I'm an employed actor living in New York City. You know what I mean? So I'm like, there's not much else to it.
Yeah. How many weeks now have you been in The Lion King?
I think I'm a little fuzzy now because I'm in it for real. But I think it's like a month and a half, somewhere around there. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Amazing. Well, congrats. When I saw that you were stepping in, I also didn't realize this was your Broadway debut.
Yeah.
Just because I feel like, you know, you've always been up to things, but I'm so excited. And hopefully I'll finally be able to see the show on Broadway. Connor, we need to make
our
way.
We've never seen it on Broadway, Vincent.
Mm-mm. It's funny because I feel like everyone is in one of two camps. Either you saw the show a million years ago or you've never seen it at all. And I'm like, please come. Like, I'm like, it's so wonderful. They did such a great job adapting like the movie and making it so theatrical and like built for the stage.
Yeah. And so emotional. I mean, I saw it on tour probably, you know, three or four times, but it's been at least a decade. And the Simba Mufasa spiritual connection that they share is so beautiful in the stage show. I don't know if this is a spoiler to discuss plot points of The Lion King, but in the second act, the he lives in me, or then they live in me stuff. Oh my God, I get chills every single time. I can't even listen to the cast album because it makes me misty-eyed.
Yeah. No, it's so real. It's like, I say all the time that it's a really subtly spiritual show in the sense that obviously there's clear spiritual elements to it, but in terms of how it affects you, like, you know, you could be 4 years old or 40 and you're sitting in the theater and you hear Rafiki go, ah! And like start singing Circle of Life and you start weeping and you're like, I don't even know why I'm having this feeling, but like I'm overcome by all of it. Yeah.
That is really beautiful. It's when the elephants come stomping down the aisles. For me, I get full body chills. And I think it's time. It's the last theater, Broadway theater, that I have need to see a show in.
Mm.
And then I'll have seen a show in every single theater.
I'm like, your bingo card is ready to be filled out.
I'm waiting to, a good friend of mine, Tom Christopher Warren, occasionally goes in and out of the show. He'll cover like Timon and Pumbaa, Scar. He's done that many, many times over the years.
He was
so
just
I need to
there.
Wait until he's doing it.
He was.
Yeah, I know he was just there.
He was just there like a couple weeks ago. Yeah.
Yeah, he's based out of Columbus, Ohio, which is where I'm at. And he's going to be doing some stuff locally, like a Christmas Carol type thing that he's working on. But when he's back, and hopefully you'll still be in, I need to come by the Minskoff.
Yes, please.
Now, Simba famously doesn't, at least the version you play him at, the age you play him at, pop into the show towards the end of Act One, but it's still such a laborious role, isn't it? Is your body doing all right?
It is. I feel like I found the process that seems to be working. You know, I've got the insoles and my shoes and, you know, I've got the personal trainer and the vitamins and supplements and things to just kind of keep it all taped together. So far, so good. Knock on wood. Yeah, but no, it's definitely, it feels like doing like a 30-minute CrossFit thing of just nonstop, like run, jump, throw someone through the air, catch somebody else, sing a song, repeat, you know.
Yeah,
it's during is the end of the first act of Hakuna Matata.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you're like at the end of Act One, you come out
like the last like 30 seconds of act one.
Oh my God.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's kind of fun.
You're jumping on a moving train. Probably similar to like joining the show. I mean, it's like a well-oiled machine. It's been running on Broadway since the late 90s. Like, what is that like when you're going into a long-running show and you're the new kid? Because you didn't do it on tour or internationally anywhere. This is your first time in the Pride Lands.
Yeah. I mean, it's been so nice, you know, like the company is so warm and inviting, which is so, like wonderful to come into because, you know, you're like, it's a Broadway debut, you know, it's a long-running show that is very successful and famous and all these things. And so there can be a lot of pressure, but I think that just the vibe of the building helps it to be not that. Yeah, so it really is, and like I think the creatives that they have over there were also very open to giving me a bit of leeway, as much leeway as they can, to interpret it like through my lens and you know try and find the groundedness and the humanity and the nuance that can exist in the space. So I'm like, I'm so grateful for that as well.
Well, that's really cool. Yeah, because when there is a long running show, it's oftentimes like an associate director or the stage manager or somebody like that who will put you in. What was that process like for Lion King?
Yeah, so I worked with Rufus Bonds Jr., who is a wonderful man. He at one point was in The Lion King as Mufasa. Oh. So it's like, it's so wonderful to have a creative team member who like actually knows the show because they did it, you know, so they know that side of the experience. And yeah, he was really just encouraging the whole time of, you know, he's like, well, how would you say it? You know, like, what is your, you know, I'm invested in finding your Simba. And I'm like, oh, like, that's cool and refreshing to have someone just say that outright, you know, because sometimes it can feel like a bit of a guessing game to be like, okay, like, how much of myself do I bring to this? You know, how much do I need to just sort of hit the X's and O's, you know? Yes, that was so kind. And yeah, he's been supportive the whole way through. So it's really great.
That's really nice to hear. What is your favorite moment of the show? I know that's such like an overstated question, but I'm always just genuinely curious.
Me too.
I mean, there's a couple. Two that most immediately come to mind are the Stampede, because I think that part of what makes Lion King successful is that it has so many elements that are unexpected, because, you know, everyone knows the movie, but then it's like, you're like, how are they going to do this on, like, are people going to be in fuzzy costumes? Like, how do they do a stampede in a theater? Like, you know, there's all those sorts of questions. And so then when you see the stampede happen before your eyes, you're like, that just works. Like, that is actually a brilliant stroke of like direction and design. And then also like in terms of production numbers, Shadowland is just undefeated. You know, I'm like Heather Headley and then all the Nalas that have come after her. I'm like, that number is just so visceral and emotive and vulnerable, you know? It's really cool. It's really cool to watch.
Oh, I love it. You're making me want to go see it.
Yeah, Julie Taymor was in her bag when crafting this whole musical.
Yes.
And
yes,
it's sort of like reinventing a wheel in a way that I don't know if we've seen of that level of ingenuity since in a Broadway, at least on a Broadway scale. I think that's why it's sustained for so long.
Yeah. I had a conversation with one of our producers about that very thing. And that was what she had said, was that, you know, with Lion King, it's that unexpectedness that brings, you know, she was like, yeah, when we were auditioning people for this show originally, even they were coming in wondering like, so am I going to be in here in like, basically like a mascot costume, like how are we playing lions, you know? And so then like, I think people that come to see the show, having seen the original animated movie, having seen the Jon Favreau version, like all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
It's like you sit in the theater and you're like, oh, like you're just like so blown away by, oh, they actually pulled this off, you know? And I believe it, and I'm invested in this and I feel like I'm a part of it. Yeah. Yeah. It's really cool.
Oh, that's so magical.
I love it. I'm so happy for you. And we'd like to ask all of our guests about the moment that got them into the arts. I mean, you just made your Broadway debut, and I'm curious, was Broadway always a dream? Did you have a moment where you realized, oh my God, I'm watching this show or experiencing this piece of art and culture, and it makes me want to dive in and make it a part of my life? We borrow the term Ring of Keys for it.
I think There were two that were pretty foundational, which was I did a production. My first ever regional production when I was about 16 was Ragtime. And our coal house was actually Kyle Scatliff, who's in Hamilton right now. So, yeah, I found myself, you know, at the age of 16, first sort of semi-professional, you know, job. And I'm surrounded by like 30 Black people, basically, you know, and just kind of being like, oh, and like, I remember all the principals came in first day of rehearsal. We did like a sing through and all of them were memorized. And I was like, wait, that's a thing? Like, oh, like it really just shifted the way that I worked from then on. Like even at the shows I did in high school, I was like, oh, I'm coming into rehearsal day one, like off book. This is how they do it. So I'm like, I guess that's the standard, you know? And then the next sort of moment for me where I think I was like, oh, I can do this, was doing Passing Strange, actually. Because that was my first like lead role professionally, and was such a like, I felt like I found so many parallels between myself and the character. And yeah, and like ended up, you know, I got an award nomination and I ended up winning the award for that role. Like it was like a whole experience. And yeah, I was just like, oh, I not only like enjoy doing this, but it seems like, I mean, I enjoy how I do it. And like people seem to verify that feeling externally. You know, just getting to tell this story, like I'm like, oh, this is something that like really lights a fire in me. So I'm gonna chase this down.
I didn't realize that you had gotten an award for your time in Passing Strange. What was that production? Yeah. Like, was it in Austin?
It was, yeah. Okay. So it was through a production company that I'm not sure if they're still in business, but it was called Half and Half Productions. And it was really sort of like, you know, grassroots kind of vibes, because there was this like mall in Austin that had a lot of sort of vacancies. And so they went in there, rented out the space. We built a stage and like hung lights and all the things. And yeah. And then we put on the show for like, I want to say at least a few weeks, maybe like a month and a half or somewhere around. Like it was like a little while, you know? And, you know, and it was like, it's sort of community theater. So it was, you know, some nights you have, you know, a pretty full audience. Other nights it's like, oh, there's, you know, like eight people out there, but you know, we're going to do it anyway. We're going to tell the story. Yeah. And I'm so grateful to have had that experience that early as well, because I think it really just helps. Like at this stage, when you're doing the thing like on Broadway, I think it's very easy to be like, oh, like the audience isn't reacting, or they are reacting, or whatever. And I'm like, I'm appreciative that people are out there. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, and it's not really my job to judge how they're receiving the material or interpreting it. Like it's their job to interpret. That's why they're here, you know, and to receive it. So I'm like, it's my job to tell the story and do it to the best of my ability on today. So that's, you know, it's like, I feel like I worry less about those external elements.
Oh, that's such a valuable lesson to learn. I mean, because you still want to give a good show for the eight people that come, you know?
Absolutely. Yeah.
I think it's kind of fun too that you're in Passing Strange. And then I also read that you were in The Heights. Those two shows came out in the same Broadway season and like were the two like
they did.
Big new musicals of that time. That's so funny.
Passing Strange was rumored to be coming back. I think it was like supposed to, and then COVID hit, right?
I want to say right here, right now, I'm going to publicize this as many times as I can. I'm like, if Passing Strange gets a revival, I have to play the youth. I actually must. If it gets revived on Broadway, I'm like, I told my agents, I was like, look, if there's a workshop or a lab or a reading or anything that gets announced, I'm like, I need to be in that room. I have to. It just...
You're going to make it happen.
It has to.
Manifesting. Like,
come on.
I mean, that was like a really, I think, ahead of its time.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh. If it came out now, I think people would be gagged, just like
it would be.
Wait, I've got to ask, like, what was it like being in The Heights? That's one of Connor and I's favorite shows.
Oh my god, it's like top five for me, for sure.
Yeah, it's such a fun show, and like that music is so fun to sing. Just, you know, because I've done that show. I did it once in high school. It was my senior year musical.
Who'd you play?
Benny.
You're Benny. Yeah.
Yeah. I then played Benny again at a regional house in Austin, then again at a regional house in Oklahoma.
Oh, wow.
And yeah, it's just like, even now, like, I'm like, some of that music will come on, I'm like, you know, shuffle, and I'm like, this Benny's din, 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 din. You're like, like, you know, it really, Lynn, as I could say, was in his bag when he wrote that.
Totally. He was in his bag. Mm-hmm.
To get to do it three different times too, I mean, I'm sure that you know, figured it out and changed it up over time.
Yeah.
It's probably really interesting doing it with different companies too.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's so cool. Cause like everyone kind of brings their own different thing to it. And I think especially like, you know, when you get members of the Latinx community, like in there and like, you know, you're now this actor's playing this role, now this, you know, and everyone just colors it in a different way. And it's so rich and textured. And like, I saw that the, I think it was Muni announced that they're doing In the Heights. And I was like, yeah, because I'm
hey,
like,
why
it's,
not?
It's such a, like, and especially for the summer, like, I'm like, that's such a just spot on show. You get all the summery vibes and then the family feel, and, you know, it's a good mm-hmm. time.
Oh my God. I'm imagining being at the Muni during like the blackout scene. You're actually outside and it's like in that huge space, no lights on. That would be so cool.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I love it. So then, okay, so you did In the Heights a few times. Was that all before Hamilton and actually meeting Lynn? Because I feel like it happened in such a short amount of time that you're performing the show and you're acting alongside and probably becoming friends with the writer.
Well, Heights was actually like an immediate sort of on-ramp to Hamilton because the productions I did in Austin and Oklahoma, it was like a joint production. So it was the same creative team. And Michael Valderrama was the director choreographer. And so my master plan, when it was announced that they were holding auditions for the show, I was like, okay, Michael Valderrama's, you know, in charge of this thing. I know he's connected to Hamilton. What I'm going to do is I'm going to go in this audition. I'm going to book the role of Benny. I'm going to show him like what I can do and my work ethic and all the things. And hopefully, you know, we were able to leverage that into getting seen at least for Hamilton. And that's what happened. I got in the show as Benny. I waited till tech week. And I was like, hey, you know, I'd love to take you out to lunch. Took him out to lunch. And I was like, you know, I really love working with you. I'd like to continue working with you specifically on Hamilton. What do you think? And he was like, yeah. And I was like, huh? He was like, yeah, I've already been talking to people about you. And I was like, oh. Okay, cool. And so then that sort of began this process of I got, you know, materials to put on self-tape, which was Lawrence Phillip, Mulligan Madison, and Lafayette Jefferson. I did those, and then casting reached back out, and they were like, can you do the Burr packet? I was like, sure, did that. And then there was this window of time after the Austin production finished, but before Oklahoma, and Baldy was like, he was like, yeah, you know, you might have to come up to New York, not sure yet, whatever. And it was starting to get kind of down to the wire. And I was like, okay, well, I can either wait for the email or I can just pop up to New York and like cross my fingers that, you know, they call me in.
Mm-hmm.
Some friends helped me get up to New York. And sure enough, like the next day, I got an email and it was like, hey, like they want you to come in for Alex Lacamoire like tomorrow. And I was like, oh, cool. I go in the next day, you know, I do a concert for Alex Lacamoire. They email me again after I leave the room that day. They're like, hey, can you come back in like 2 hours for Alex and Tommy? And I was like, what? Yeah, sure. Come back again, do another concert for them. I leave. They wanted me to do a dance call like that coming Monday or something, but I had to be back in Texas to get on a plane to go to Oklahoma to finish out the production. So then I had like two more appointments over the next year in which I did. Next one was, I think, King George and Hamilton, and I think I did a dance call at that one. And then the next appointment was like, you know, a one man production of all of it.
It sounds like it.
and then yeah, eventually, you know, the stars aligned and they gave me the call.
Wow, that is a thrill ride.
Yeah, it was wild.
Which company did they put you in first?
So they put me in Aunt Peggy, which I because like they. When they called me, it was very surreal because it was like 10 or 11 a.m. on the random day. My agent called and was like, hey, like, which production of Hamilton do you want to be in? And I was like, what do you mean? And he was like, you know, there's either the Puerto Rico production or I think it was like one of the tours. And I was like, my best friend Trey had already booked the Puerto Rico production. And I was like, well, that's a no-brainer. Like, of course I'm going to go hang out in Puerto Rico with Lynn, with my best friend. Like, yeah. So yeah, we did Puerto Rico for about a month and then went to San Francisco for a year and a few months, I think, before I left the show. And then like right after I left, the pandemic hit. So it was like kind of perfectly timed.
Yeah. Oh, okay. It was all pre-COVID. Okay. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's right. It would be. I always have like memory lapse of what happened before and what happened after, or, you know, quote unquote after, but you know what I mean?
Yeah. I think we all collectively like blacked out that section of our lives. Just like, I will skip that over.
Yeah. Did you like living in San Francisco? I've never visited, but my cousin Jack famously lived there for a while and he loved it.
You know, there were some spots that were cool in San Francisco.
You're being so judicious.
I don't think that I would choose to live there if I had the option.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Is New York more your vibe?
For now, yeah. I mean, I think as I get older, you know, just sort of thinking about the long term and you know, wanting like kids and that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And I think a bit of normalcy, as much normalcy as we can have in this industry. You know, LA seems pretty enticing.
Yeah.
My partner, she's a bit of a beach girl. So okay. I think that also is like a draw.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you were in the LA. You did some time,
yeah,
in LA, right?
Yeah, yeah. So I left the San Francisco production in like March 2020. COVID hit. On the other side of all of that, they asked me to join the LA company. So now, that's when I did that one.
Wait, was the LA company the one that was supposed to like start like the week of the pandemic?
Yep.
With like Taylor Imon Jones and, yep, Rory O'Malley.
Yep.
Okay. Uh-huh. Friends of the pod. Okay.
Friends, yeah, of the pod.
So
yeah, I'm like, okay. Love them.
Oh.
Yeah. Oh, great people. It, yeah, is, that's so fun. Okay. So then this partner, as you mentioned.
I know. Wait, how long have you been together?
If you want to keep it private, that's okay. That's okay. But we do like to talk about theater, pop culture, love, and life on the pod. So
that's right. It is in the tagline. I often forget
the love
that,
portion.
Yes. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean, I was not with her during that run of the show. I met her in Australia, actually, when I was out there doing Hamilton.
Was she in the company as well?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Is she Australian?
She is.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. That's so fun.
Wait. Was this when it was in Sydney?
I joined them in Melbourne.
Okay. Okay.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. I was out there, wow, for like 6 months. Yeah.
And were you swinging at that point?
I was, yeah. I was standby for all the same tracks, but I really only did Burr mostly.
Okay.
Yeah.
Were you covering Lyndon Watts?
I was. Okay. Yes. That beautiful man.
Beautiful,
my
man.
Gosh.
Beautiful. Oh my God. I know. He should be walking runways.
Oh, yes. I'm like, one of these days you're going to look over your shoulder and see a mm-hmm. Vogue ad and be like, oh, yep. That seems right.
Yeah. I think he did our show like right as y'all were starting up, because it was, the lockdowns were so strange over there. Like it was on and off, but lovely, yeah, lovely person.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That is so cool. Okay, so beautiful. Then you met your partner there, and then it's been like a long distance situation?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Right now she's in Manila, but she'll be here in New York with me end of this month. Thank God. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, cool. Has she seen you do Simba yet?
No, she's very excited.
Yeah, all I can imagine. What is she doing in the Philippines?
Hamilton. It's the international, okay, company. Yeah, yeah.
That
Wait,
is crazy.
That is so cool.
Yeah. Well, we got to get a spot open up on the Broadway company and get her in New York full time.
Hey, let's start the petition.
Mm-hmm.
Let's get it done. Yeah.
It's a family though. Like I really do feel like people jump around from production to production. So you never, yeah, know.
Yeah. I'm going to ask a really stupid question, but was it hard covering all of those parts? Like you had all of them in your brain, plus probably whatever other tracks they had just swinging into.
Yeah. I mean, I can only speak for myself.
Yeah.
And not to downplay the thing. Cause I'm like, yes, it does take a certain amount of effort and work and whatever, but I'm like, I think that no is the short answer. Part of that is because I was such a fan of the show before I got in it that I'm like, yeah, y'all are basically asking me to do the stuff I was already doing before you paid me. You know, like, it's like, I was already, like, in the parking lot with my friends being like, okay, this time, like, you're going to be Hamilton and I'll be Jefferson. And you. So I'm like, yeah, like that. I'm like, I was already doing that. You know, my brain, I think, has figured out how to do it fairly well.
That's really impressive.
Okay, so say it's tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Everyone is sick on Broadway and Hamilton or can't go on.
Right.
Which would you want to slip into?
Aaron
after
Burr.
All this time?
Aaron Burr.
Okay. I knew. Yeah. I had a feeling.
Yeah.
A feeling.
Like from as an actor, like I'm like, that's the thing that I think is most engaging to me. Cause I'm like, yeah, like singing and dancing, like, yeah, that's all like well and good. And I'm like, but I think just the storytelling element, the character arc that he goes on is so juicy. And I think that's probably why it lives in me so like readily. Like I'm like, yeah, like if they were to call me and they're like, hey, it's dire straits, we need someone who knows the role to pop in today, I'd be like, yeah, like we'll do a quick little stumble through and knock it out.
Yeah, I mean, also I'm such a fan of your voice, and so I do feel like you'd get to like
thanks.
You get to be a little bit more showy with Burr. He gets some ballad moments that are like really fun, you know.
Thanks. I appreciate that. Thanks so mm-hmm. much.
Absolutely.
And before we move on to Dose of Drama and wrap it up, I need to tell you that I discovered you in White Girl in Danger this past spring. What a wild ride that was probably.
What a wild ride. Yeah. Oh my gosh. That show, it was so fun being surrounded by it. One, just like such a lovely group of humans who also just happen to be like some of the funniest people you will ever meet. And so specific and inspired in like the choices that they make. And we're actually recording a cast album in a couple days.
Oh my gosh. Wait, is that a reveal? Has it been announced? Or?
Oh, maybe it is. I mean, I think they said that we can talk about it. So okay. Yeah, we're doing a White Girl in Danger cast album. We're recording that this week. And I'm not entirely sure when it's going to get released, but you will be able to listen to us sing some really crazy stuff at your leisure.
Oh, that's so cool. I was really excited by the show because I hadn't bought a ticket yet, but maybe 2 or 3 weeks into the run, I had talked to a bunch of different people who had all seen it at different points of the preview period so far.
Yeah.
And they were like, okay, it's really long, or wait, I'm going to go back at the end of the run to see how different it is. Was that fun for you to navigate all the changes that it made as it was in real time in front of audiences, but developing as a piece?
It was also new for me because I was like, you know, I had never originated something in that capacity. So it was like, okay, you know, we're coming in during previews and like we're having a rehearsal and also getting new pages. And it's like, okay, now what is this? You know, what's this change? When is this change going in? But it was so, I called it, was like an experiment in vulnerability or failure, just because I'm like, you know, coming from a show like Hamilton where it's like, this thing is set in stone. We know that it works. It's got all the awards and all the acclaim. And then going from that to here's this thing. And, you know, it's an open field. So we could go anywhere. And, you know, sort of in embracing that sort of anxious enthusiasm of like, okay, I've got some new pages. I've got a new scene that I have to do today in front of all the people that paid to see this on this preview night. And like, I'm going to make some choices and we're just going to see how it goes. But it's like, I'm so grateful to have had that opportunity because it's like, yeah, you just kind of get to work it out, you know, and find something that you probably maybe not have discovered otherwise.
That's cool. It was really interesting. Dylan, I wish you'd be able to see it, but I'm sure it'll live on again somewhere. Mm-hmm. But wait, I was like obsessed. I didn't get to see Morgan Siobhan Green the night that I went. But so I definitely wanted to go back to see her. I know she's a star.
I am such a fan of that woman. I'm like, she is like multi-hyphenate and then just as a performer, like is so, again, like detailed and specific and like brilliant in the things that she comes up with. Yeah. All praise to Morgan Siobhan Green.
Can't wait to hear her sing on the cast album. I was also obsessed with Molly Hager as one of the Megans.
As am I.
But for some reason, I was like, I was so locked into her. I don't know why. I really loved her.
As am I.
Yeah.
I'm like, from the moment Molly opened her mouth to like sing or speak a line of the show, I was like, okay, well.
Yeah.
I'm like, I have to do a lot of work because I'm like, she's operating on a whole other level.
Yeah, she was great. She was great. Okay, I'm so excited.
Well, break a leg recording the album.
Thanks.
That's really rare that a show, let alone an off-Broadway show, gets to have an album made long after its run is over.
Is this your first cast recording?
It is. Yeah.
Yes. Oh my goodness.
A lot of firsts this year. A lot of firsts this year.
Totally.
Okay. Well, we're sadly wrapping up on this convo here. I'm sure we'll have you back again one day to talk about all the other amazing things you're doing, such as when you're in the Passing Strange revival. But before we say goodbye, we do like to end on a dose of drama. Mm-hmm. Could be something on your mind that maybe you watched last night, or you want to rant about something, rave about something, get something off your chest, or give her a little recommendation. Dylan, do you want to kick it off today?
Yeah.
Yes. Connor and I love like the Oscars season and like all the big new movies. I got to see a movie last week called Anatomy of a Fall. It was absolutely brilliant. Mm. I highly recommend it to anybody who is into, it's like a crime movie, but also at the same time, it's largely a courtroom drama. It's basically about a woman whose husband is found dead outside of their home and their son discovers him. And the idea is, was it suicide or was it homicide? And throughout the entire movie, you're kind of getting into her psyche. It's mostly in French, but a lot of it is also in English because she's, oh my God, I don't want to say too much. I don't want to say too much, but it is really, really brilliant. And the main actress, Sandra Hüller, I don't know how you say it. She's a German actress, is absolutely genius. And if it's playing at your local cinema, take it in, read the subtitles. Don't, you know, it's a great excuse to not be on your phone and also watching a movie at the same time. I highly recommend it. I wouldn't be surprised if she got an Oscar nomination for this part. It's really brilliant.
Mm-hmm. Ooh.
Love. Okay. Yeah. I think I'm going to go tonight.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah, suggestion tomorrow. Worked. My suggestion worked.
Yeah.
Connor, do you have a dose of drama for us today?
Oh my gosh. So many things. I feel like it's been a while since we've recorded. So let me try. Well, I watched the first two episodes of the Showtime show, Fellow Traveler, starring Matt Bomer and Jonathan Bailey, and Jelani Aladdin's in it. And so is Noah Ricketts. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's
Noah Ricketts. Yeah.
Yeah. Highly recommend. The plot isn't exactly what I thought it would be, but it's still really good. And they're all giving great performances. Matt Bomer, especially. I mean, I feel like he's a star. Like, he's really giving leading man energy in this. So I do recommend it. And the sex scenes are hot, so that's if that sets you over the.
Well, it's a Showtime series, so you better expect some.
They can push it, yeah. Right? Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love it. Yeah, Vincent, do you have a dose of drama to wrap us up with today?
Yeah, there's a show I started watching recently called on Netflix called Bodies, and it is really fascinating. Like, if you're into a mystery sort of vibe and trying to like. Each episode you watch, you're trying to figure out, like, where is this going to go? Like, I think this is it. Like, theories and stuff like that. That's the show to go watch. Yeah. It's like, I'm trying to give, like, the elevator pitch of it. It's like the same dead body is found in the same spot across a couple of different years in time.
Okay, that's wild. But each Sounds episode scary. Is, like, a different, like, decade or, like...
Well, within era? An episode, it'll be like, oh, like now we're in, you know, 2023. Now we're in the 1800s. And it's like, you start like, it's so riveting.
Sounds oh my God, good.
I can't believe I hadn't heard of it because I love that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm going to give it a shot.
Check that one out.
I'm finishing Peaky Blinders and then I'm going to give it a shot. I can only do one show at a time, sadly. My brain only has that much room. Wow. Okay. Well, I appreciate the suggestion. And from both of you, actually. Well, Vincent, listen, this has been so much fun. I love when we get to just connect with somebody new that we haven't really gotten the chance to see a ton of things in, but we kind of get to hop on the train as it's just sort of heading up to the top of the world. Take a train to the top of the world and I'm there, I'm home, to quote In the Heights. But I'm very excited for you and all of the goodness that's coming your way. And I really hope I get to see him in The Lion King.
Thanks so much. Yeah, come on through.
Can't wait. And everyone should follow you on Instagram. It's just your name, at Vincent Jamal Hooper, right?
Yeah, yeah. I can only handle one social media account at a time.
That's fair. Well, Instagram is basically like having a website as well. So it makes sense. And of course, while everyone's following Vincent, they should follow us. We're at The Drama Podcast. Connor is at Connor McDowell. I'm at Dylan McDowell. Vincent, thank you again for your time. This was really, really fun.
Thank you all.
And Connor, I will see you next time. Drama. Drama.